Welcome in to episode 143 of Fired Up, tickets out of FiredUpTickets.com. I'm Mike Zoto. Joining me as always, Dom Console. Dom, how you doing this week?
What's up?
Not much. Listen, we took the week off, scheduling conflicts at first, and then, well, so originally we pushed it back to Tuesday, and then like middle of the day Tuesday, I just completely lost my voice. I had nothing, and it's still not even 100%, but like I couldn't even talk with it. Like nothing would come out. It would just be silent. And that's not good for a podcast. I don't know if you know.
No, it's not. It's not. And with two of us having that problem, I actually called out of work on Tuesday because I had this problem a year ago where like I was having like throat issues around this time of the year, and it started happening again, and I tried to like tackle it before it got serious, and you know, it got pretty serious on Tuesday, but I'm on the road to recovery.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, it seems like we've been saying it for the last few months. Like everybody's sick. It's just everybody's always sick. There's not a time that goes by where like you just are feeling fine. Everybody's sick, and it's like lasted months at this point.
A couple of years ago, I think it was like the end of 2021. Like from October to January, I had COVID. I had like a sinus infection for like 2 weeks. It was just like 3 months of just being sick.
Yeah,
maybe like a week or two in that 3 month span where I wasn't sick.
Yeah. So and it's always fun, you know.
Yeah.
So the weather, like I'm so sick of the cold. Like
That's the thing too. It's like not only is it ugly out, is it cold out, is it dark out, is it fucking snowing and raining and all this bullshit, but like there's nothing going on either.
Nothing.
Like and I have to be sick. Like.
Right.
I can't even go outside and enjoy the weather outside if I'm sick, you know.
Right. And you know, football's over. We're still waiting for baseball to come back. Hockey's alive and well, which is good. But you still even wait until hockey playoffs. Like it seems like forever from now. Like there's nothing really going on right now.
Right.
I need the spring.
It's like that's the thing. It's like especially somebody for me who's like doesn't really watch regular season hockey outside of the Flyers. Like the Flyers don't play till Wednesday. Like like the Sixers play Thursday. Like what am I gonna do? Like these next couple nights, like
pick a show. You say you're. I think through text you say you were like rewatching Entourage for the 8 billionth time, right?
Yeah. So
watch that until Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, but like I've seen it a billion times, and like it's really just on in the background, kind of. Because I could probably recite every episode from every season, but it's it's just I want to watch sports. Like,
that's the thing.
Currently, the game just came on, college game, Iowa State versus Houston college basketball. But Houston's like a top school in college basketball right now.
March Madness is right around the corner.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like March Madness is around the corner. Playoffs are around the corner. Like hockey,
baseball's around the corner.
Baseball's around the corner. Playoff basketball's around the corner. It's just like
But right now, there's nothing.
Right.
Find the new show to watch. Find something else to.
Yeah, there's a couple on my.
Wet the beak a little bit. Like what? What are you trying to watch?
I do want to watch The Bear. I've never seen it.
Okay, I've never seen that either.
To
me, it just seems like I'm gonna be rewatching Shameless. That's my concern.
I think the only like, and this is just from the outside looking in, like things that I've read. It's just the only like similarity is, it's the same actor.
The actor. But he's like a very. Like in your face kind of guy, like he was in Shameless. From the trailers I've seen.
I don't think he was like that in Shameless. He was just more like the laid back kind of brother. He got himself in some kind of issues here and there because that's television. But like,
sure.
I just think the only similarities are it's the same actor and it's takes place in Chicago. So
yeah. Are you a big superhero movie guy?
I've seen everything up from like, what was it? The first Captain, first Iron Man, because that's like the first one in the first phase.
Yeah.
Up to like, Endgame, I think.
Okay.
And then ever since that, I've seen maybe like two movies, and there's been like 20.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask is because this Madam Web movie that came out. Is getting the worst reviews I think I've ever seen a movie get, like ever. Like people are calling it not just the worst superhero movie ever, the worst movie ever. Period.
Right. And that makes you want to watch it, kind of. That makes kind of watch it.
Yeah, kind of.
But I've intriguing. Heard that. I've heard that. Yeah, I don't know what to. And it's funny because I actually thought in this new phase of like these new phases of Marvel, I actually think the last Spider-Man is like a top five Marvel movie ever.
Sure.
But it's just like I don't know like what's.
But I think Madame Web wasn't made by like Marvel Studios. I think it was made by Sony.
Oh really?
It was made by Sony.
Okay.
From what I've heard, that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And Sony, I mean. While I love the original, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, it's like Sony made great movies. They're okay, but
I
like
the first one, but the second one, right? Sure. That's the thing. But that's the thing is like they got it right with the Tom Holland one to a certain degree because he was a high school nerd who like, you know, in the second Tobey Maguire and the third Tobey Maguire is in college. Like he's not a high school kid trying to fight crime like in the comic books.
Yeah.
And that's what they kind of got right with Tom Holland.
Well, I think Tom Holland's great. I think he's the best Spider-Man there's been.
For sure. They're the best movies. I like the first Tobey one, but like after that, it's and I think I've seen all three in theaters, if I remember correctly.
And like, don't give me any Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. I couldn't get on board with Andrew Garfield.
I've never seen any of them.
Nah.
The only time I've ever seen Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man is, the newest.
Yeah.
Tom Holland one.
Right.
Where he comes back in the multiverse.
Right. Before we kind of get into anything tonight. I do have to. Obviously, we took the week off last week, coming off of the Super Bowl, right? So I have our against the spread picks.
Before we keep going, can you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Am I good? Like
yeah.
I feel like I can't hear myself.
I can hear you fine.
All right.
I mean, if you want to turn your gain up a little bit, go for it. But
I don't know how to do that. But oh. But
yeah.
I don't want. Is this too much now?
No, you sound fine.
All right, because I'm doing it very, lightly.
Just ramp that up, and if anybody listens to us, wherever they are, blow their fucking ears out. I don't care.
Honestly, I think it's more in my headphones, but go ahead. All right, we're good.
There's also a volume knob on that.
Is
there? Turn your headphone volume up.
How the fuck do you do that?
There's a knob that says headphones.
Yeah.
Turn it up.
There's no, way to turn up volume on headphones.
No? On the top of the thing?
Oh no, that's what I was doing. Right.
Oh, I meant your microphone gain. Turn your microphone gain up.
Yeah. No. I'm saying I did the gain and then I was like, oh, maybe I'll just do my headphones.
Oh, okay. I see.
And then I did my headphones and I was like, oh, that's better.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, I didn't know what you meant. Now I understand.
Okay, yeah, we're good. All
right, cool.
So to against the spread, so you and Chris did okay in the Super Bowl picks. You did not do so great, though. I'll be honest with you. So me and Chris both went 17-13 in our entirety of picks. You went 9-21.
Yeah. You know what's funny?
Yeah.
So everything that I picked for the show for that specific thing, I went against in gambling.
So you made out pretty good then if you went against
I didn't bet everything, but there were two or three things, that I did win that that I did not
nice.
Win and miss.
Nice.
So
anyway, that brings our yearly total. Listen, I don't want to gloat too much, but I'm the champ this year, all right? So I just barely got over 500.
I mean, blind squirrel always finds a nut.
So. That's very true. 61-60 I went on the year. You and Chris both tied with 55-66.
That's crazy that we both tied. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Yep. So, a little bit of fun.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I think I had the overs in ours, but I bet the unders in real life.
You did have the over because you said the under's boring.
Yeah, exactly.
Which it is, but you know.
Yeah. But that was Monday.
All right,
on Friday I placed my bets when I had 4 or 5 days to let it marinate.
Right,
a little bit.
Let it, yeah, exactly.
So I parlayed that with the Chiefs win and unders.
Okay,
which I almost lost.
What a,
it was 47.5, and they put up 47.
Right, needed overtime to even come close though. Obviously, what'd you think of the game in general? I mean, were you happy with the outcome? Did you not really care? Were you surprised by anything?
No, I'm happy. Yeah, I hate the Niners so fucking much.
Fuck the Niners, agreed.
Yeah.
It's funny, when we were on the show, I think I said, I don't really care that much who wins or loses. I'm kind of, I hate the Niners, and I'm annoyed by the Chiefs. By the time the second half started, I was, all aboard the let's go Chiefs train. Like, I was rooting hard for the Chiefs
to win. I had a feeling you would be. Honestly.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe it just took you to, like, watch, like, oh, shit, wait, they have Nick Bosa. It's like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, they have Purdy. Oh, wait, they have Kittle. Like, no, we don't like any of these guys. Like,
right. Well, the thing is, I actually think Purdy could be a likable dude if he was on another team.
Just on 29 but... other teams. Yeah.
Oh, right. Exactly.
But he's not, so that's, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, no, I was excited. I'm excited that they won. Not excited, but I'm happy that they lost. People complained about the game, how it was a defensive game. Honestly, like, I didn't think it was, you know, especially the second half was so much more fun. What was it, 10-7 at the half?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, so the second half had a little bit more going on, but for the most part, I thought it was a, you know, fairly okay game. Like, not the best, not the worst.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily mind the low scoring. I just thought the first half was just sloppy. I don't think the defense has played great and stole, you know, the show the first half. Like, if that happened, I think I could be a little more behind it. It was just sloppy football, I think.
See, I actually thought the defense has kind of stole it. Because you think about it, like, McCaffrey fumbles, then the Niners come out, and the Chiefs come out three and out, punt.
Yep.
They punted a lot in the first half, like both.
Yeah,
teams.
That's true. Yeah,
I think there were five or six punts for both teams. Right. So I actually think there was a good defensive effort in the first half. It's just, you know, a couple fumbles, but you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. But either way, you know, the Niners are going to complain about something else.
Yeah,
we're going to hear all season about these, you know, the overtime rules or there's another, oh, if Greenlaw doesn't get hurt, we win. Like,
yeah.
They're going to have excuses.
If we
all
sign
year.
Brady.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, Brady in his prime.
Well, no, they tried to sign him, right? Didn't they?
Did they?
Did you see that? Yeah.
No.
There was a report that came out, I think it was the week going into the Super Bowl or the interview.
Pro Bowl?
What do they call that?
Oh, Media Day?
Media Day, like. That
or
week,
media
like,
week,
was,
I guess.
There was something that came out that said, like, Shanahan literally went up to Purdy, like, in the offseason and was like, yeah, we're going to try for Brady. You didn't see that?
No, I did not.
Yeah. And he, like, confirmed it, like, this, like, that week, like, the week before the Super Bowl. That, like, yeah, they, like, we had that meeting and, you know, what am I going to say? No? Like,
well, yeah, right.
Well, I mean, like, not what is Purdy going to say? No, but, like what's he going to, like, he's not like Patrick Mahomes where it's like, you know, I have a say.
Well, no. No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what's Purdy going to do about it?
He can't
right.
do anything. You sit there and take it.
Right.
Like, Tom Brady would make you his bitch if it came down to it. Like, you don't have a choice but to take it.
Right.
But, yeah, not that I don't know that, like, 46-year-old Brady would be able to, you know, I don't know if they win that game with Brady.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, I could see it either way.
Sure. But yeah, just the fact that they didn't know the rules, like it's just the overtime rules.
Yeah.
Like it's just, I mean, it's peak Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
Peak.
It's good coaching versus bad coaching.
Right. Exactly.
You have to, like, his excuse was that I told, you know, I assumed that my coordinators and assistants were going to relay it. And it's like, you know, Andy Reid.
You're the head coach, right? Yeah, you're the head coach. You need to make sure they know.
Yeah, like the Chiefs are so prepared, that they even knew what play they were running if they had to go for two if the Niners scored.
All right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think they said they were having.
It didn't really matter anyway because.
No.
Because if you kick the field goal, you still have a chance to go down. Right.
What's that?
Like if. Even in the regular season, let's say the rules weren't changed for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
If the Niners go down and kick a field goal, you still have a chance to go down, right?
Correct. Yep.
So like it doesn't.
So
really
theoretically, it wouldn't happen in that. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So they're bitching for nothing, you know.
Right. Yeah. True. They didn't score a touchdown.
Right.
But I guess the big debate is, do you take the ball there or do you kick it off?
Well, that's what I was thinking this, you know, going into last week's show before we knew we weren't having a show. Like, I was thinking all week, like, what was Shanahan thinking? Was he thinking, like, I don't know if I trust Purdy to go down the field. If let's say that the Chiefs come out and get the ball first, let's say we kick it and the Chiefs get the ball first and they go down and score, do I trust Purdy to come out, drive down the field with how good the Chiefs have been playing defensively? Do I trust him to go downfield, score, and possibly go for two and do, you know, and convert?
Well, no, he told you what he was thinking after the game. He wanted the third possession. He wanted to go down and score. He had a feeling that, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they kicked the ball. I was curious to think, because does he not trust Purdy enough if we kick the ball to,
right,
you know, to go down the field if they're down a score?
If you don't trust your quarterback in that spot, then you probably should find a new quarterback.
Well, that too, that plus, like, I still think that's crazy. I still think you still kick the ball no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, at first in the moment, I kind of understood where he was coming from. But after thinking about it, it's like, you don't give Pat Mahomes four downs. Like, when he goes into the drive knowing I have four downs
right
to get a first down this entire drive, he's not going to fail. It's hard enough to stop when he has three downs.
And when they had the ball on fourth and one, and he ran the ball, like, there was no other person in this world that was getting the first down
right
than Patrick Mahomes. Like, yep. You know,
they should have sent 11 guys to Pat Mahomes. If your running back beats us, oh well, your running back gets the ball, right, he beats us. But they should have sent 11 guys at Mahomes. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
yeah.
Whatever. Hopefully, you know. And the thing about, like, Purdy is, because I thought about, you know, all the time, is he a good quarterback? Is he a bad quarterback? I think you can win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy, but you will never win a Super Bowl because of Brock Purdy.
Sure. But I think that's all most of those guys in that,
sure,
10 yeah to 15 range.
Yep.
Jared Goff, you know, Purdy. I don't know about Cousins. Maybe earlier in his career, I would have thought that. But seeing who he is in the playoffs, he's probably, you know, not the guy. Maybe, but like,
yeah,
on like a super super team. But yeah, I think those guys between 10 and 15 are all, you know, kind of like that.
Right. For sure. There's nothing else Eagles we really have to get into, right? I mean,
Well, I don't think so. I think you have the Senior Bowl coming up. Combine, or did the Senior Bowl happen? I don't even know. But I guess we can talk about
the leaks and you know, Hassan Reddick and did he or did he not request a trade, or
yeah,
that whole thing, or if they even should be seeking out a Hassan Reddick trade.
Well, I mean, obviously, I think everybody kind of agrees that it's, you know, he probably, just because he wanted money last offseason, he probably wants more money, a longer contract, and they basically were like, no, not yet, or no, we're not interested in that. But yeah, I have no problem
playing in one season. Let him walk. Let him walk.
Yeah, but what if he doesn't show up?
That's the risk. Is he willing to risk? What's his contract? Is he willing to risk that money to sit out?
I don't know. I don't know how much he makes, but I don't know. A lot of guys are, man. Like, dude, Chris Jones. For the Chiefs, sat,
yep,
out week one and sat in the fucking, next to Goodell.
Yeah.
Against Detroit week one. Like,
I really hate the holdout shit in football. Like, the mentality of it. It's like, you sign the contract. Fucking honor the contract. Like they owe you nothing to give you more money. Like, nothing. Like, you sign the contract.
Yeah, I mean, I see both sides of it.
And I understand totally how the NFL doesn't give, like, fully guaranteed contracts like baseball, basketball, or hockey.
Yeah, but do you think more guys would hold out if they had more guaranteed money?
I want to think, yeah, because they'll always want more money.
Yeah.
That's number one. Yeah, they'll always want more money. Nah. And number two, if you give them guaranteed contracts like other sports, then you, in, because this is the way football players' mentality are, you end up with a million Anthony Rendones.
See, I don't,
just want to get paid.
I think if you gave them more guaranteed money, I think they'd be more willing to finish out the contract.
With how violent the sport is, I think you get a lot of guys that'll just kind of pull back.
You could use that same argument: is it's so violent that they want their money, they want their years, they want their. And honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think the product suffers though.
What do you mean?
Because I don't think they go in 100%. Because like if they're guaranteed money, they're not playing for the next deal, or you know, like they're set up for life.
But if it's guaranteed money, it's not the same contract that you see. I think it's more like let's say a player signs a 4-year, $35 million contract or $40 million contract, and like in today's terms, and only 25 of it's guaranteed. I think you would see more 30 to 35 is guaranteed instead of that 40 to 45 or whatever.
Sure, you know, yeah, maybe.
I think you get more guaranteed money but less on a deal.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the risk you run is if you don't trade them and you don't sign them is the holdout thing. But I don't know. If you want to be here, show up and play. And if you don't, then I don't know. Like he's saying he wants to be here. So if you want to be here, then play.
Right. But he's also got to look out for Hassan Reddick, you know? He's got to look out for the fact that I just had these two crazy years. And he's not saying I want to terminate the last year of my deal.
Sure.
I just want to add on to it. And, you know,
he just had a down year. Like what?
He had double-digit sacks, dude.
Yeah, but I think you could say that he took a step back from 2 years ago.
I don't know that he took a step back. The whole team took a step back.
Sure, totally.
That's first.
Totally.
But
yep.
I don't know.
And like he just wasn't as dominant. Like the sack numbers might be there. You know, he might have the double digit sacks. The eye test didn't. The eye test took a step back for me. He wasn't as noticeable. He wasn't as dominant.
I don't know. Let's look what he did this year compared to last year.
Okay. You got it up.
He had five more sacks last year.
2 years ago.
That's what I mean. 22.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
22 versus 23.
Right. 2 seasons ago.
He had 9 less combo tackle. You know, combo tackles,
okay.
Combined tackles. 5 less solo tackles. So it's not. It wasn't like a.
It's not. No, it's not crazy. But how old is Reddick now? 29.
He'll be 31. He'll be 30 this season.
Okay, so he'll be 30.
Yeah. So he'll be 31 after or going into his when he wants his new contract.
When this deal expires, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that at the point, I mean, he's on the other side of 30. Like.
Right.
I don't know.
Which is
what
why
big,
I think he wants his deal.
Sure. But what big deal is he getting?
Well, I'm not saying he deserves the deal. I'm just telling you. Why his thought process? And
sure.
I don't necessarily disagree with the thought process. It's kind of like the Eagles didn't do this for Malcolm Jenkins. Like you know what I mean? Like Malcolm Jenkins hit his early to mid 30s, and they were like, "Thanks, but no thanks," kind of
yep.
thing. So like, I don't know if it gets done. Honestly, I don't think they're necessarily looking to trade him. I just think it was more so, hey, I want more money. Hey, we want you to finish this deal, and we'll see where it goes. And if you don't feel that way, then go test the market. Go see if any other teams are offering you or would offer you what you want. And if so,
yeah.
We'll try to make a deal. And I think that's really what happened. I honestly don't think it's that crazy or that big of a deal yet.
It's kind of overblown, you think?
A little bit. I just think there needs to be a story right now, and that's the story. And you know,
I'll tell you one guy who
I don't think he sits out. I think he said I think he's the type of guy that says, "Yes, I want more money. But I'm willing to come and play this year. And I'm willing to, you know, do what I have to do for my hometown team and
do what Mike Evans did. I'll respect the hell out of
it. Right? I do my two best years of my career were here. So like,
yep.
You know, I'm willing to kind of do that to try to win a championship. But you know, I also have to look out for myself.
The one guy who's also seeking out a trade, which I'm totally fine with, is James Bradbury. If you could get anybody to take him,
right? I didn't see that.
Yeah, this came out about a week ago, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if it was true, like if it's the rumors or reports are true, but that's a report, is that he like requested to seek a trade or whatever. So, but who's taking that money? Like, who's taking that contract?
Yeah.
Like, the Eagles have to eat a large part of that.
Yeah, and it's not like other sports where, like, you know, basketball or baseball or even, you know, hockey, where it's like you take on bad contracts to on a bad team, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you don't, you know, you don't really do that, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's in.
Yeah, like, you don't see often. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, in, like, hockey or, you know, the other sports, it's like, hey, I'll give you this shit contract that I want no parts of, but here's also a second round pick for your troubles. Like, you don't really see that in football.
Remember when the Flyers traded Chris Pronger's rights?
Yeah, his contract.
He was wearing sweatpants, like, on his couch.
They traded him to the team that gets all of the bad contracts.
Right.
Arizona, right? Yeah.
Pavel Datsyuk, too, right?
Yep, Datsyuk was one. There's a whole list of players whose contracts got, I think Shea Weber's contract got sent there. Like, a bunch of contracts get sent there because the Coyotes don't like paying their players, and they're always below the salary floor, so they take on these shit contracts to get up to the salary floor.
It's a crazy concept.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, like, you don't see it in football where it's like, hey, take James Bradbury and in exchange, I'll give you my third round pick. Like,
yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Right.
It'd be wild, though. Would you trade a third round pick to get rid of Bradbury? I'd do it in a heartbeat.
How much would it be to just cut him?
Like, it's a lot, I believe. Like, 20 million?
I would want to see the money.
Okay. I could probably pull it up for you.
If you can, it's not a big deal. But depending on if they just cut him.
I'm trying to look. A dead cap value of $17.2 million.
For just 1 year?
Yeah.
Honestly, I probably just cut him.
For $17
million? Yeah. Okay. What's he owed, though? Like, what's the rest of his contract?
I don't have that in front of me.
What's he got, another, like, 3 years?
2 years.
Okay, I thought he signed a 4-year.
The football contracts are. I hate Spotrac, whatever the fuck the name is. Hold on, James Bradbury contract. Let me see if I can find this here.
He signed a 3-year, $38 million contract. Wait, no, this says 3 years, 43. Oh, I guess that's with.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, I was right. He's got 2 more years. He's got 2 more years, 24 and 25. Yep, I was right.
So, I guess technically what? He's owed. Wait, I am so confused here.
Oh, see, actually, now I'm on over the cap, and they're saying his dead cap money next year would be $15.2 million. So, who knows?
Yeah, I cut him.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I'm not giving up a third round pick. Not right now. Not for Bradbury.
No.
Not with Bradbury.
I think they do need to get rid of him, though.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what they do, though. Like, do they go out and draft a young corner? Do they give it to Ringo? Like,
I like what I saw from Ringo.
There's a lot this offseason that needs to be, you know, kind of revamped, but it's not all going to be fixed, you know?
No, but, like, I think a lot of the things that they do have to be on the defensive side. Like, as bland and bad as the offense looked last year, like, they made their ad. Kellen Moore, see what he could do to the offense. Like, that's your offensive, you know, big piece you had in the offseason. Go out and fix the defense.
Yeah, I agree. Get young players.
Yeah. Yeah, but isn't that what they tried to do last year, though? Like, I know they were kind of young players mixed with old veterans. But, like, they added a lot of young guys last year. I think they relied too heavily on the young guys last year.
Let me rephrase. Go out and get good young players.
Okay.
How about that?
But, again, the devil's advocate, isn't that thought what they did last year? Well, they thought
Nakobe.
Yeah, I know, but they thought Nakobe Dean was going to be a good young player.
Can never see
the field. They thought Jordan Davis was going to take another step and be a good young player. I think he was fine, but I don't know about a good young player. They thought Jalen Carter was going to be a good young player. He was great the first half and then disappeared. Like,
yeah, but there's 32 teams, right? There's
32
jobs in the world that pay a lot of money to run a football team and go get me good players.
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah,
you know, I listen, you can try it. Go do it. Go do it.
Okay,
go
fair
do
enough.
It, Howie.
Easier said than
Howard,
done, though.
Howard, go do it.
By the way, I don't know if you saw my tweet from like last week. I'm done with Howie Roseman. I'm done with him.
Did I do anything?
You convinced
me. Okay.
You convinced me.
Did I have
yeah.
something to do with that? Okay.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, I love that.
I'm just done. I'm done with, like, every year there's a leak that comes out about the infighting and the drama, and I'm done. I'm done with the drama.
It's a new thing every year. Yep.
Every year there's this person doesn't get along with this person, you know, per, you know, anonymous source, this person doesn't get along with this person. This person's requesting a trade. Like, all of it, I'm done with all of it. Howie Roseman, like, I don't think he's going to get fired because him and Lordy, like, fuck each other on the weekend, every weekend.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm done with Howie Roseman. Like, it's, yeah.
It's
they
crazy
because
they, you know, they do think, I think they, you know, they have fun with each other. I think,
yep.
I think Bradley Cooper, I think Lordy lets Bradley Cooper, like, nail his wife. I think
why are we bringing Bradley Cooper into this mix?
Oh, I love Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper's the man.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I think he lets it, like, nail his wife. Like,
okay.
Do you ever like see them after an Eagles win? Like,
no.
He hugs his wife. Like, the way Bradley Cooper hugs Jeffrey Lurie's wife. Like, it's a when he wraps his arm around her. It's a like his hand's pretty low.
Okay.
Yeah. Look
right.
out for that next season.
I will.
Yeah.
Dom's scouting Lurie's wife and Bradley Cooper.
Yep.
I like it. All right, fair enough.
And that's not against Bradley Cooper. I love Bradley Cooper.
Right. But it's just I'm over Howie Roseman. And you I think you are to blame for my disdain of Howie Roseman right now.
Oh, it's not blame. There's no blame. Not when there's the truth. Not when there's the truth.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. Oh, you got anything else, Eagles, before we move on?
No, I actually really want to stop talking about the Eagles.
Fair enough. There will be plenty of times to talk about the Eagles rest of the offseason. The next thing, we don't, you know, it's been a while since we've been able to talk, like, real basketball on here. Sixers were a little busy come deadline today.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what do you make of the moves?
Yeah, so before I go into the moves, it kind of sucks that, like, now that it's, like, basketball season's kind of, like, this is, like, the fun part. Embiid's hurt. So, like,
I'm gonna say it's kind of hard to enjoy because, like, without Embiid, they have zero chance. So, it's like, at this point, does he get healthy? And, you know, can he play in the playoffs? And if he does play in the playoffs, is he 100%? Like, that's all what we're kind of thinking about because nothing else matters.
I think I said on the show a couple weeks ago, no matter what, you got to play in the playoffs. I think, my opinion.
Sure.
I don't care if he's
75%. If he can go. If he's over 55%, I think you play him.
Yeah. I actually think they won all the moves. I think Buddy Hield is, you know, I think he's the best 3-point shooter in the last 5 years or something along those lines. Great 3-point shooter.
Probably the best one Embiid's ever played with.
3-point shooter, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
He's definitely up there. What else did they do here? Cameron Payne, another really good 3-point shooter. I don't know that he gets a lot of playing time in the playoffs, but depending on, like, if Embiid comes back, but, like,
well, the only problem with that is they traded everybody's boy Pat Bev in that deal.
Yeah, but, like, is that a problem though? Like, I'm not some Pat Bev truther though. Like, I like
people love Pat Bev in the city.
I like the guy. I like the attitude. I like the toughness. I like it all, but. That's the only thing we held our hat on with him. And how many times has that worked in his career? How many championships does he have?
Well, he wasn't he on those James Harden Houston teams back in like 2015? Yeah, so he's never won anything either.
Not one. Has never. I don't think he's ever been past the second round. So, like, where does that toughness happen in the playoffs? Like, like the whole PJ Tucker thing, too. Oh, we got this guy here to win in the playoffs. He's got one championship too, like in 20 years. Like,
who did he win a championship with?
The Bucks in 21.
Oh, okay, all right, okay.
And they were a deep team, like
right.
But it's just like you need to. What they really need to do is what they're doing. It's put shooters around Embiid like that. You need to open up the paint for Embiid to work. Get four guys on the outside that are really good shooters. That way, you give it's a threat. It's a threat.
Well, yeah, because Embiid's just the most dominant player in the league when it comes to inside the paint and, you know, around the basket.
Inside the three.
Well, yeah, really, honestly. So if guys collapse on him, it leaves guys wide open on the perimeter to shoot. And you know, if guys start respecting the three-point, maybe it'll open things up for Embiid down low.
I also didn't realize how much Buddy Hield, and maybe this is like the first time in his career he's able to do it, but I didn't realize how much, not that he's great at it, but like how much he's actually good at creating his own shot. Like Maxey, like that's what, like look at a guy like Maxey. I think Maxey is a guy that can play the one or the two and really succeed because he can create his own shot if he ever played the two, or went back to playing the two. But like I never thought I don't think Hield ever really had a chance to create his own shot. He's always a catch and shoot guy. But like there was a couple of times since he's been here, I'm like, oh wow, this dude can actually create a shot. I think they should keep him at the right price next year.
Hield?
Yeah.
He's an unrestricted free agent, right?
Yes.
At the end of this year.
Free agent in the year. He's 31, I believe. So
is he that old?
Kind of, yeah. He was like, a four year player in college, I believe.
Oklahoma. Okay. Okay, that makes more sense. Huh? Yeah. It seems like he hasn't been in the league all that long.
2016, he was the same draft as Simmons.
Okay.
They were both, and he was a top 10 pick. I think he was sixth or eighth.
Right.
He's one of those guys that had like a really good tournament, and his stock kind of went up a little bit. And he's a really good player. But I think for the right price, if he wants to win, if he wants to stay here, you could pay him like I would be comfortable paying him $20 million a year, $25 million a year, honestly.
And he's probably, well, I don't know if his comparison's right because again, I don't watch a ton of like the NBA and basketball, but like he seems like he's what we all wanted or hoped Tobias would be. Is that kind of fair?
So Tobias, prior to coming here, he was with the Clippers, and he shot like really well. He was one of the best 3-point shooters that year. He was never like a great 3-point shooter. He was a solid 3-point shooter. But like that specific year that we traded for him, he was like having like a great year at shooting the three. They brought him in. I don't even remember what he did. But then after that specific year, when they maxed him, he was just became like an okay 3-point shooter. They do different things. Like Tobias is a mid-range guy, ISO guy, gets to the rim, can hit a three, where Buddy Hield is more of a 3-point shooter. They both, see, I think Tobias is an okay defender. Like, I don't think he's this great defender, but I think he tries hard, and he can't lock down guys, but he'll play good enough defense, where Buddy Hield is a little bit better defensively. Like, a couple years ago, Buddy Hield, I think, led the league in steals, like averaged 2 steals a game. Like,
okay.
So he's not, again, he's not a lockdown guy either, but like, I'd be okay with him guarding like other teams, like second best player, maybe third best player, you know? I think I know what I want the Sixers to do this offseason. I think this offseason, you max Maxey, then you bring back Buddy on that like 3 to 4 year deal worth $20 million, whatever it is. Even if you can get him at 50, like 15 to 20, like 50, you know, even a little bit, $23 million, whatever it is. Then you go out, and I would actually bring Tobias back on a cheap deal if he wanted it. I would bring him back, because that's the whole thing. People hate him because he makes $40 million a year.
Sure.
If he made $20 million a year, nobody would hate him.
No.
But I think I would bring him back super cheap too, if you could, around the same price, 15 to 20. Trade for Lauri Markkanen, who's owed $17 million a year next year, and then Embiid. And then you have four guys who could shoot. Lauri has size. He's kind of like Porzingis, like a guy that, you know, a tall guy that can shoot from the outside.
All right, so the Sixers should call you to run the team.
They should.
Because that was a good pitch. It was a good sales pitch.
Yeah. It's I should do that, and they should fire Howard too.
Might as well, yeah. Kill two birds with one stone. But again, none of it matters if Embiid can't get healthy, so we'll see.
Right.
We'll see what happens.
And the whole, like, everybody hates that they traded Springer, too, and it's like, dude, Springer's not, like, he hardly played here. He's abysmal offensively. He's very good defensively, but, like, he wasn't going to get playoff minutes.
My only issue is you trading the Celtics.
The only issue with him trading him to the Celtics is the Celtics really needed a guy like that, a guy to come off the bench who can play defense. Like,
Yeah.
The Sixers didn't need that because they have De'Anthony Melton. They have Hield. They have a couple guys who can already do that.
Send him somewhere else then.
Yeah, but somewhere else has to offer you a second round pick. Like, it's, you know,
what's the second round pick getting you? Second round picks are irrelevant in the NBA.
No, it's not. No, they're not.
What second round picks come out that
got your Buddy Hield?
Yeah, I guess.
You trade your second round picks and other players to get good rotation players.
Yeah.
That's what wins you in the NBA. It's not so much your starting. I mean, you have to have your stars, but like it's the depth, it's the defense, it's the scoring, it's the rotation. That's what it all is. And if that's what I was going to get to. It's like this guy wasn't going to play in the playoffs this year. He wasn't going to play in the playoffs next year. Let him go somewhere else and have a chance. You get a second round pick, and in this offseason, you have 3 first round picks. You have now you have 2 of the 4 second round picks that you gave away. You get 2 back. Like, now you have 3 first round picks, a bunch of second round picks, and you have other rotation players to trade.
Right.
To get better players.
Yep. Fair enough. All right. So the one Phillies thing we have is they actually did something. They actually made a half decent signing. Whit Merrifield, 1-year deal with a 2025 club option. I mean, they could have done worse. I mean, the versatility's there.
Yeah.
He's got. I didn't realize he was like 35.
Yeah.
Like I thought. I could have swore he was younger.
I think he was a guy that came up late.
Yeah.
Like 25, but like, 26.
He had like a 2-3-4-year stretch where he was great with the Royals.
Yeah.
Led
the league in doubles a couple times.
Yep.
I think he's got a batting title or maybe 2.
Yeah, 1 or 2 years he was great. Yeah. Which is great. But you play a little bit of outfield, play second base still.
Play a little bit third.
Yeah, right. So it's versatile. A guy that come off the bench and yeah.
He's played center before, so.
You'll see him get, you know, spot starts here and there, come off the bench, kind of platoon all over the field, I think.
I think too many people think he's going to just be a bench piece. I think he's going to be a little bit more than that. I don't think he's going to be a starter. I don't think he's going to play 30 games this year. I think he's going to play 60 to 70 games.
I agree, but he's going to play him at like 4 or 5 different positions.
Exactly. Left field, third base, second base, center field, right field.
They're
going to move him around.
Have a rotation of like anytime somebody needs off, Whit Merrifield's a replacement.
Exactly. And he's going to play like 2-3 times a week. Like that's, and he's going to be your first bat off the bench in a pinch hit situation. Like that's the thing. It's like in the 4th inning, bases loaded with Johan Rojas up in game 7, you have Whit Merrifield.
All right. Yeah.
So like it's just having that option is great. Listen, is he the greatest player in the world? Is he something? I think they already have 3 or 4 guys that do what he does, that 10 to 20 homer guy that is going to hit 70 RBIs and hit, you know, 260, whatever it is. Like, they've already got Bone.
Bone, Marsh.
Yeah. Like, they've got those guys. So, do I wish that they added a right-handed power bat? Yes. But there's still time for that. Because, like, Whit Merrifield, I don't think Whit Merrifield was the guy, like, oh, that's the guy that we're signing. Like, I just think this is, like I said, a guy that's going to play a little bit more than what people think, but not be a everyday starter.
Yeah.
It's really not a bad move for this team.
No, not at all. I actually like the move.
And if you lead off, if you need him to lead off, like,
sure.
You know, if Schwarber's out for a night, so yeah. And he steals a lot of bags.
And I think he still has some left too. Like, I know he's 35, and well, yeah,
All-Star last year, yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty good last year. So, yeah, no, I like to move a lot. I mean, go to the power bat. Like, who's really out there that you want them to sign now at this point?
Exactly. Trade for, sign for. Like, it's just not, like, I don't think they're going to find it. And maybe they do the same thing that they were going to do last year at the deadline. Maybe they can add. It's a lot tougher nowadays to do that because so many, with the extra wild card team in there, we've talked about it. It's so hard to, you know, make trades because everybody thinks they're in it now and they don't want to give up their assets. But, like,
yeah, look at the Phillies 2 years ago. Look at the Diamondbacks last year.
Right. Everybody saw what the Phillies did 2 years ago last year and said, why can't that be us? We're 3 games out of the 3rd wild card. Why would we trade?
Right.
You know, we're going to add. So, I don't know what else is out there that's a right-handed power bat other than, like the only thing out there is Cody Bellinger, who's a lefty, and, like...
Oh, right, he's a lefty, though.
Right.
And, like...
And I would take that, honestly. I would
sure, that. Yeah. I mean, the question I was going to ask is where do you put him? But center field, Sierra Rojas go down to, you know, AAA. But, like...
I open him in left, honestly.
Put him in left, and then what happens?
Put Marsh
and Rojas in center.
Yeah. Or trade one of them.
Right.
And it also depends, like, is he getting a multi-year deal? Is he getting a one-year deal?
I think he's getting a big deal. Like, I know he hasn't signed yet, but I think he's getting a big deal.
Okay.
He was great. He was great last year.
He was really good. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Like first half of the season, people are talking about MVP.
Yeah, he's had a weird career, man. Like the first like 2 years, he was ridiculous, and then he just had like a 3 year stretch where he was horrible, and then he bounced back last year.
Yeah, I like. Right, sure. It's like what? Yeah, what Bellinger do you get?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I still think pitching, like, is a concern for me, specifically bullpen pitching.
I don't disagree. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Like I still would like them to add at least one more bullpen arm. But I also think bullpen in the playoffs is a little overblown. I think it's a little overrated.
You could argue it cost them in game, what was it, game 3 or game 4?
It was game 4.
Yeah.
No, I mean, okay, that's one game that they also have to score more runs, but like I'm not saying
that's the reason they lost the series, because the reason they lost the series is because in game 6 and 7, their stars went 0 for a zillion. Like, that just can't happen. That's the reason they lost the series. But it helps to have bullpen arms and good ones.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I have some stats here, so go ahead, finish what you're saying.
It's a question. That's the reason I was going to have you go. But, like, right now, who's the closer on this team?
It's Alvarado.
I kind of agree, but, like, I think Alvarado's better as an eighth guy.
There is no closer, though. Like, that's just the way the league is going.
I get that. But right now, there is no committee. Like, it's, like, Alvarado, and there's no second option.
Soto.
Do you trust Soto in the ninth inning at all?
So before he came here, yes. Last year,
last year, no, not at all.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that you just go away from a guy because he had a down year.
Sure, and I understand
a new place.
Sure, and I understand they love, you know, what Kirk Green did last year, but like, yeah. Is he ready to step into that role early
we'll
in his career? Like,
but that's the thing. It's like that's the beauty of the trade deadline too. Is especially bullpen arms, like,
sure,
they're a little bit easier to get for cheaper. But I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of go that route. They just go with what they got, and then at the deadline, see if they can add something. But I have some stats for you. So the Phillies were third in MLB last season in terms of bullpen WAR. Texas and Arizona were 23rd and 24th. The Phillies were 7th in ERA. Arizona was 18th, and Texas was 24th bullpen ERA. And then during the playoffs. The Phillies ERA ranked second in the playoffs. Texas was 11th and Arizona was 7th.
Okay. So it's not important, is what you're saying.
Starting pitching is more or so.
No, sure. Starting pitching is more. Sure. That's fair.
So, that's
okay, listen. I kill two birds with one stone. Go out there, sign, you know, Snell or Montgomery, either or. Move Sanchez to the bullpen.
Yeah, but like Sanchez isn't like a back end guy.
No, he's not. But it's another arm in the bullpen.
Sure, I mean that's fine. But I Sanchez probably becomes like your long man.
No, I think he could pitch, maybe not eighth, ninth inning guy, but I think he'd be a seventh inning guy.
What has he done that's proven that he could be a seventh inning guy?
He's pitched well. That's all I need. I just need to pitch well. I mean, doesn't matter when you come in, just pitch well.
It does matter when you come in, though. Oh. As a starter, you don't have to throw strikes immediately. Coming out of the bullpen,
sure.
You have to throw strikes. I don't know that he can throw strikes in one inning.
Yeah, he doesn't really have command issues.
It's not... When I say throw strikes, I mean throwing a fastball by a hitter.
Sure.
What
and you know what your hardest reliever is? Alvarado, who can't hit a strike zone at all.
again, it's not about hitting the strike zone. It's about making a hitter miss the ball.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying is with a starter, you have five innings to play with. You don't have to strike everybody out. You don't have to get outs immediately. Where you come in for a one inning, you have to get three outs. That's your job. Okay. I don't know that Sanchez does that. Like, in a high leverage situation in the seventh inning, up two runs, up one run.
So you wouldn't try to add another starting pitcher?
I'm not saying I wouldn't try to add another starting pitcher. I'm just
then what do you do with Sanchez?
Again, he's your long man. He's probably the guy that comes out early in the bullpen in the fifth inning. If you're getting blown out in the third inning, he's your guy.
Okay.
He's Billy Falter, man. Like, he's not like...
I don't know. I'm not there yet.
I'm not saying he's that bad. I'm just telling you, he's a guy that had a really, really good first year.
Sure, sure. None of us expected
it. We don't know what he is. Yeah, and we don't know what he is.
And I agree with that, but I don't see Billy Falter in him. Like, will he repeat what he did last year? Who knows? Maybe not.
I don't know what he is, though.
Sure, I don't know that he'll be as bad as Billy Falter.
But I wasn't necessarily saying he's Billy Falter in the sense that, like, he had this great year and then he's going to stink. All I'm saying is he came out of nowhere. He had a really good first year. Let's not just say, all right, here are the keys like we did to Billy Falter. Like, I wouldn't expect him to come out and be great again. Like, I don't think you can.
They're doing with him exactly what they did with Falter. They're giving him the keys. He's their number five right now. He's number five right now.
Right this second, but they still have...
That's exactly what Billy Falter was going into the season.
Okay, let me finish my point.
Okay, go ahead.
They're still in talks with Jordan Montgomery. Those are the reports, sure. Right? There were still reports that there could possibly be into Snell. Like, they could still make a move. Like, it's not over yet. I mean, the move probably won't be made at this point. But also, like, I don't know. Like, do they need a starter? I don't know. Like, do they need a top-end starter? I'm not sure. Maybe Sanchez could be the fifth guy until the trade deadline. I don't know. I don't know what he is. That's my point.
Sure.
I don't know that I'm just like, yeah, you're the fifth guy. Like, no, you gotta work for that fifth spot. Like, I'm telling Sanchez, listen, like, you have the best chance maybe, but like, we have McGarry and these other young guys that are coming up that like could take your fifth spot. If they don't go out and get Montgomery or Snell
what are your thoughts on Snell? Not necessarily for this team, but like as a pitcher in general.
I'm not too familiar with like his stats off the top of my head.
Cy Young last year, obviously.
Yeah. But like he's kind of a hate the face for me a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
So other than that, like I think he sometimes comes up a little small. But
the reason I ask is because my concern or fear, which I guess is probably aren't the right words, is I wouldn't be surprised if they give Snell the big contract he's looking for and just kind of justify it as Wheeler's replacement moving forward. Let Wheeler walk after the year and Snell's the next Wheeler.
See, I think what eventually happens is I think they do get Montgomery. I think they land Montgomery, he wants a four-year deal. These teams want a 1 to 2 year deal. I think eventually he comes here with a 2 year deal, and this is just my theory. Like, there's nothing behind this other than just a gut feeling.
Sure.
But I have a feeling he comes here for a 2 year deal. They don't want to do what they did with Tyon Walker again. I don't think Tyon Walker's gone after this year, to be honest with you. I think they
good luck.
Trade him or they good buy luck. Him out or they send him to fucking like Russia. I don't know. But like
in the Russia. We call Mitch Putin. We'll trade you Mitch Call for Tyon Walker.
So I don't think they want to do that again where it's like, and I think Montgomery's probably a better pitcher than Walker is, but like I don't think they
sure.
want to mess up again and saying, all right, here's 4 years, $1 billion. Like but I do think the Montgomery there's a chance Montgomery comes here on a 2 year deal that's, you know, a little bit more money than what we wanted, but you know, I would love them to trade for the closer out of Cleveland.
Manuel Clase?
Yeah.
But what does that cost you?
Prospects.
And are you fine? Are you who?
Prospects.
Yeah, but like, which one? Like, are you comfortable trading? What's his face? Crawford. Justin Crawford.
Yeah, I am.
You're comfortable trading? Like, I understand we need a closer, and it's important. And but are you trading your best prospect for a closing pitcher?
Well, I don't think he's... Is he the best? I thought Ian Miller was the best prospect.
Nah, he might be. Okay, fair enough. But, like, it's still one of your top...
I think Painter's still...
Yeah, but until Painter pitches, like, it's... I'm out on Painter. I'm out on Painter right now. Be healthy.
Okay.
I'll see you up here when I see you. In 2026, when you're making your debut, I'll be happy for you.
I'm just... The discussion was not whether or not you feel like liking Andrew.
Listen, I would love Emmanuel Clase. He's the best pitcher in the game. He's the best, one of the best closers in the game.
Would you give up Crawford?
I'm torn because I don't think closing pitchers should be worth top end prospects.
Yes, but he's not just a closing pitcher. He's 26 years old. Let me sell you. Listen to this pitch.
I was gonna sell myself, but go ahead.
No, I'm gonna sell you. So all right. 26 years old.
Sell me this pen.
Do me a favor. Write down your name. So 26 years old. Probably a top three closer in the league.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
You're going to tell me you wouldn't give up, not you, but like anybody, like wouldn't give up a guy that, okay, Crawford looks like a nice player in Arizona Fall League. There's been 100 guys, 1,000 guys that have looked great in Arizona Fall League.
Sure.
Has a first round pick. I get it. I understand. But you have Marsh, you have Rojas, you have Ian Miller, who could move to the outfield. You know what I mean? Like there's still so many things that you don't have a
what's Ian Miller now? Play third base?
Third base, yeah. Shortstop third.
Let's move another middle infield to the outfield. Why not?
Yeah, but if he plays left field, it's not center field.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, we could just bulk him up and pay him before he ever has an at-bat in the majors.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I think Crawford's going to be hopefully a nice player. I don't know what he's going to be. But like, it's win now.
That's the reason why I consider it is you look at the lineup and obviously, you know, the core of their team is not getting any, you know, younger. JT, who knows who their next catcher is or for how long he's even here. You know, Harper's going to be here for a while, but how long will Harper be Harper? Right, Castellanos is short, but these guys aren't getting any younger.
You're going to be on Social Security by the time
By the time Crawford comes up is what...
Just kidding. We're not going to get that because our generation gets fucked. But go ahead.
Yeah, we don't get that.
That's a different conversation for a different podcast.
We could do a whole other hour on that.
Yeah.
But by the time he comes up, who knows what this team's talent is? Like, who knows what their ceiling is? Like, the window's right now, and that's the only reason why I consider it.
I do it. I give them Crawford, who's... even if he is their best prospect, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
They gave up their best prospect for Roy Halladay.
Starting pitchers, like... You know, I think they're more valuable than relief pitchers.
I know, but he's 26.
A guy that pitches 3 innings a week, like.
I know, but were you not just complaining about this 20 seconds ago?
Sure, yeah, no, 100%. Absolutely.
I just think he's controllable for the next few years, contract-wise. He's 26 years old. He's a top 3 closer in the league. You know, it's what they need.
Sure.
You're correct. It's just go back to game 4 against Arizona.
You have Clase in there, you probably win that game.
Yeah. You probably win that game, and you don't blow 6-7 at home because you wouldn't have 6-7.
Nope.
Maybe you have 6, but.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, you got anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here? I don't know if you hear. I'm starting to lose my voice again. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I am too,
me.
Actually.
I don't know what's going on with me. So we got anything else you want to talk about? I mean, Flyers. They lost the Stadium Series. There's not
the Jonas Brothers concert.
Yeah, I know you were super excited for that.
They lost the Jonas Brothers concert.
Yeah, went to a Jonas Brothers concert and a hockey game broke out.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost. No, I don't really.
That's really it.
Yeah, I watched them, and then it was 4-1, and I was like, "Yeah, I don't have."
Yeah, they lost 6-3. I think it was the final.
Yeah, got shut off at 4-1, so.
Yeah. Owen Tippett's a player, though. 2 goals.
My guy. Love Owen Tippett.
Tip's great.
He's like a third line guy, right? When this team contends, right? Or second line.
I think he'd be a top, and maybe not. I think he could be a top six guy. What, first line, second line?
Like,
I think you put him
like,
either place.
Like I'm talking like Draisaitl, Mitch Kov,
Tippett.
Okay. All right. I like it. It's size.
Let Mitch Kov dish the puck, because Mitch Kov is nasty when it comes to dishing the puck. Let him dish it to Tippett.
How about Forrester? What's his deal
about
so
him?
Far?
Is he still
playing?
Yeah, he has some moments.
Because like
everyone
thinks he's gonna be like fucking Gretzky with the way he scores.
He has moments.
Town.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like the way this town like. Talked like on
ice. Got a good shot.
Yeah, but like it's got to go in.
Sure.
So like, do you think if like he could develop a little bit more, like he could be a?
Nah, maybe not. Maybe not.
Okay.
Much higher on Tippett.
Okay. I like
much
it.
Higher on Tippett.
I love Tippett.
Well, I think Forrester. I think Forrester. Yeah, he's turning into one of mine too. I mean, they got him locked up now for 8 years. So.
Yep.
But no, I think Forrester could be like a 20-25 goal guy.
Okay, I'm just saying from what I'm reading, like he's Austin Matthews with fucking 1,200 hat tricks a year.
Austin Matthews is going to be the greatest goal scorer in the history of the league. So
he's on pace.
Yeah, like we're talking about like Ovechkin breaking Gretzky's goal record. Austin Matthews is on pace to beat Gretzky's goal record.
Yeah,
he's further along in goals than Ovechkin was at this point in his career. So.
No, I love that. I love seeing, greatness. All right. So we got Draisaitl,
Mischkoff, Tippett. Yep.
All right.
It's gonna be nasty.
Is Konechny still on the team?
Yeah. Yep. I think they'll sign him to an extension.
He's their second line winger.
Yep.
Okay.
And Kutz is their second line. Yep.
Okay.
And Kutz is like a damn good second line winger center.
Yeah, right.
Great second line center.
Because he plays two ends,
Yep.
And then who else? Farabee is your second line.
Yep, he could be. There you go.
What's our third line look like?
Oh goodness, I don't think Lawton will be here.
Right. Is there anybody currently on the team that, in 2 to 3 years, that could be? We've already been the GM for the Eagles and the Sixers.
I'm trying. I'm just trying to think.
And honestly, the Phillies too.
Noah Cates, Bobby Brink, these guys.
Okay, are they third line guys?
Third or fourth.
See, that's what I think this team has is like a really good bottom six.
Yeah.
That they could build around, which you obviously need in the playoffs.
Yep.
But it's just they don't have the top end or goalie.
Right. Sure. Well, their goalie, is like getting ready to go to, jail for the next decade or two.
Sure.
So, now you got to find that again. But they did just draft 2 goalies last year, so maybe they're decent.
What's their, do they have like a?
It's too early to tell. Like, goalies are so weird.
Yeah.
Because
running backs, right? Like you take them in the second round and like.
You just You just don't hear about them for a while because like goalies, the position takes so long to develop. So like, you'll draft the guy and like 6 years later, you're finally like he'll start to play games in the NHL. My dog is going nuts right now because she wants to go outside. So we might have to wrap this up. She's like barking at me.
I don't even hear her, but go ahead.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Either way, I think we're kind of wrapping up anyway. I'm losing my voice.
Yeah, you sound like a 75-year-old guy that smokes 4 packs a day.
Dude, it was 1,000 times worse last Tuesday. I would go to talk and nothing would come out. It was so bad. Yeah. So we're gonna get out of here. We will see everybody next week. Did you hear that time?
I heard that one.
Yeah,
that's the first
time. I'm gonna go and let her out. We'll see everybody next week. See you Monday.